Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to download or stream the Be Our Guest podcast. We don't say it enough, but thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. Of course, it is Wednesday, so it's time for your listener questions, and we have a bunch of them today. One of the questions we get is about the best quick service meal location at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and I have a sleeper pick for that one. We also discuss accessibility with Disney's Magical Express transportation, hotel and park occupancy questions, room request recommendations, and much more. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. That is the best way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Book your next trip with the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They're a free fee agency, free services for you, and you're going to get awesome experiences every time. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you for allowing us to put out four shows a week. Plus, our patrons get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1891 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope the week is going well. So glad that you are here for, of course, listener questions on a Wednesday. And you know I'm excited because I am 24 hours until wheels up to the Summit Cheerleading Championships. Yes, if you follow my Twitter, you saw that we're ready to do the perfect cheer like I'm doing right here on the video. But yeah, excited to get down to Walt Disney World, have some fun. We're staying at Disney Springs at the Hilton there for a few nights, and then we're going to switch over to Coronado Springs. I'm telling you, I'm going to be all over Disney Springs this weekend, and I'm not breaking news. I'm not in the competition. I don't have to go to practice. I don't have to go to practice. I don't have to go to team bonding. I don't have to do all these extra things the cheerleaders do. Because when you boil it down to it, if you're a cheer dad, it comes down to two times, 3 minutes each. And like, you just hold your breath the whole time. Cause like, you just don't want your kid to be the one that trips or something, you know, like it's a nightmare to watch. Like, it's not fun to watch these things. It's totally stressful. But I'm not on the team. So you know what? I might have to sneak into a park. Who knows? So follow me on social media, Instagram and Twitter, at BeOurGuestMike. I'll be posting a lot of stuff. But let's get to the questions. Joining us today from themouseforless.com, we have Ricky. Ricky, how's it going?
It is going fantastic. So this weekend, we did something that I haven't done in over a year. I went to the movies. So I was so excited. Actually went to a theater, sat there, ate popcorn, had a fantastic time, and I saw a fantastic movie, which I know I'm really behind on seeing. So we saw Raya and the Last Dragon, which is, of course, the latest Disney film, but latest by, like, it's been out for a while. But I wanted to actually see it in the theaters, so this is my first real opportunity to get the chance to do that. So really, really good film, by the way, if you guys haven't seen it, because, you know, it's you have to pay for it on Disney Plus right now still. So if you haven't seen it yet, though, it's really good. I did not know what it was about at all going into it. Like, I had zero understanding of what this film was about. So, so good. So if you haven't seen Raya and the Dragon, I absolutely suggest seeing it. So,
last movie I saw at the movies was the last Star Wars.
So the one I saw before that was actually Onward. So I did like a Disney sandwich.
How crowded was it in the theater?
Not bad. There were about four families or so that were there. And I mean, they had us all spaced out, you know, so it wasn't like we were like right on top of each other or anything. But yeah, it was a great experience. It was nice to be back to something normal. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a theater, seeing a movie, just that part was just so nice to be back to.
So Saturday night, we went to Ricky, you know where I live there on 94. There's a place right across the street. It's got two men in a truck behind it, like a movers.
Yes.
But they made an Italian restaurant like in the front. And we've always thought it's been there since we moved here, but it closed obviously because of COVID. We went out to dinner there. It's fancy on the inside. Like it's less than, it's like 0.4 miles from our door because it's right across the street, right across the highway from where we live. We went there for the first time. Like, do you have reservations? I'm like, reservations? Shoot, this place is fancy. They're like, well, we have two spots at the bar. So we sat at the bar, like, you know, talked to the bartender, talked to the other people at the bar, had this pizza. It's an Italian joint. It was almost like being at Via Napoli. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And they had this but it was like the old days, right? Everybody was just having a good old time. So yeah, I'm excited.
That's good. It's nice to be back to like almost getting to real life.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
real.
Saying? Like that part was just awesome.
And she said she'd make me a quattro formaggi next time I come in the bar because the bartender owned the place. So,
awesome.
In. All right, talking pizza. Let's talk to Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What is your, let me ask you this, what's your favorite kind of pie?
Oh, man. So that's funny because there are, I mean, pizza, I think, is the universal food,
yes.
Right? There's hardly a pizza that you, like thick crust, thin crust, whatever. I like them both, but I really like a white pizza, a pizza that sort of doesn't have like a traditional, I like traditional tomato sauce fine, but there's something about a white pizza and I like fresh tomatoes on it and basil if possible. There's just something about that style of pizza. But I mean, pizza's good. Almost every kind of pizza is good. Have you ever had a pizza like you really didn't like? I think is the better question.
No, I mean,
yes.
No,
but
no, I mean, I like Little Caesars. I even like Cecil Whitaker's here in St. Louis.
No, but I'm out on Domino's.
Domino's
fan. No, we actually had it. So it got delivered. We had a work lunch on Friday, and they got us Domino's, and I was like, oh, it wasn't very good. I was just disappointed. Like, I was like, oh, this is not very good pizza.
Yeah, I don't know that I've really even had Domino's, to tell you the truth.
Their crust is fine. The rest of their pizza is not good. I was like, oh, this is disappointing.
Right, you guys are making me starving. So let's jump into the first question because we have questions and hopefully we have answers. So Rachel has a question. She has two. She says, hey, BOGP crew, two questions for this Wednesday. One, I've been catching up on episodes. I recently listened to the tips for the ultimate pool day. I looked on the Walt Disney World website for more information on cabana rentals. All three locations say reservations are only allowed for hotel resort guests. Did your episode spur so much interest that they had to change the booking criteria? And I'm not saying that we did, but this did change after that podcast.
Really?
Absolutely. It was worded where you did not have to be, and it is now changed on the website. And it was after our podcast. Demand, obviously, it was spring, right? This was coming more popular to book these things, but it happened. We were right when we said that, but it did change on the website. So you do have to be a resort guest now.
Interesting.
Which made more sense to me, right? I mean, if I'm staying at the Grand Floridian, I don't want people coming over. You know, I mean, like, I'm paying all that money to stay at the Grand. Like, let me rent the cabana.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So, anyway. Second question. Has anyone heard when parking trams will resume in the reopening schedule? It is my favorite ride. No, I'm just kidding. does anyone know if the construction at the TTC has been completed so the trams can drop off at the normal place? Thanks, Rachel. Ricky, you know anything about that? TTC construction?
I think the construction's still going on, but they're definitely not, they're not doing trams yet. So, I think trams will be a while still. So
trams are kind of fun. I bet you kids like them.
They are fun, but you know, it's hard to social distance on those. So,
I mean, you're in a row with all your people you like, right?
But there are people right behind you.
Yeah, that's true. They're pretty tight. Yeah. I haven't ridden a tram in a while because I used to ride the bus. How about this one? I like this one. Diane asks in the live chat, can you please explain to me the meaning and origin of Dapper Day? Does this happen often? I missed the memo on Saturday and felt very underdressed at the Magic Kingdom. So Diane was not dapper, apparently.
No,
you know, you were just, Diane, you were just comfortably fine. That's exactly, because you know what? If I'm there on Dapper Day, guess what? I'm dressing like a theme park tourist. I just can't. I couldn't take. So, Pam, obviously we saw this all over social media. You know, people, I mean, Dapper Day, dressed up. It's kind of like back in the old days. Like, people dressed up to go to ball games. You know, suit and tie and go to the Cardinals game. So, just give your thoughts on Dapper Day, because it did happen Saturday.
So, on Dapper Day, they dress dapper, as the term would be. I mean, it literally is what it says. You know, think about the dapper Dans and all of that. They're really, so many people are dressing like in period clothing, but it has really taken on a life of its own because it's more than just period clothing. There are a lot of like cosplay type costumes where people are sort of dressing like a character, not in the character itself, but let's say you're dressing as Belle. You may see people in like a yellow dress or a yellow shirt and, you know, whatnot, or you're dressing like Winnie the Pooh and you have a yellow shirt on with a red bottom. Like it becomes so much more than that. People are dressing like characters. And I think some of the really cool options that you've seen people do is the obscure characters. Yeah. It's like you're looking at them and you're like, I know that character, I'm not quite sure. Or the people who are super creative and dress like as an attraction. Their costume is inspired by an attraction at Walt Disney World or by a show or something to do with Disney. I think that that's the part that's really cool about it. And some people are uber creative in this space, just really do such a fantastic job. There are other people when I'm checking out their costumes, I'm like, how are you walking around?
Oh, I know.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly. Here's the thing. Like, I mean, this is a totally social media created day.
For sure.
Because I mean, what's the point? Like, I don't even want to wear like a suit to church. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I mean, I definitely don't want to wear one to, you know, 90 degrees and, you know, 90% humidity, a chance of thunderstorms to walk 18 miles in a day. I mean, there's like 18 reasons I wouldn't do that. But, you know, like without social media, what would be the point anyway? Like, at least you're going to take some pictures.
This is true.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way it's so funny because for years, like leading up to before social media was a big thing, like if you would go to some of these conventions, like the Harry Potter convention, or there were different Marvel conventions or other that were sort of like comic book inspired conventions that really had a following with those groups of people, they really did do this before. They dressed up as the characters or as something inspired by that. And I've really seen that sort of move toward that space here with Disney. I just can't believe the creativity that sort of comes out of people. Like,
I know.
There are women that have like shoes, little purse, and some of these things they make themselves, hats, everything that looks just like it. It's really, really a cool thing.
I always tell my wife, like, I wish I had enough time to do stuff like that. I don't even have enough time to like look that stuff up online. That, you know, shoot, to create that stuff is unbelievably amazing. Like, it has to take just weeks to make some of those costumes.
I mean, absolutely. Oh, for sure. Crazy. Yeah, for sure.
I just want to give a
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just want to give a little background on Dapper Day for those who don't know. So Dapper Day was started, actually, they have a website. It's dapperday.com.
No way.
Yeah, I know. It's a legit thing.
They've
been doing it for 10 years. So that's crazy awesome. And basically the whole point is to, you know, Dapper Day celebrates fun, refined style from yesterday and today. You're supposed to join their elegant outings in vintage looks and contemporary classics to step out in style. Now, this actually occurs. There's events in the spring and events in the fall. So they have it listed out on their website of when those dates are. And actually, I put them on the Mouse for Less, too, in our annual events thing, just so people kind of keep updated on it. They also have it in Disneyland. Now, obviously, not right now, but, you know, usually.
It should be the first day back. I mean, if you're going to go back. Like,
right?
You know, it's like,
exactly.
It'd be dapper.
Go all out, yeah. Right? And then they have another version in Walt Disney World. Now, obviously, you caught the Walt Disney World version, so hooray for you. They also, like I said, have it in the fall. In the fall at Walt Disney World, it will be November 20th and the 21st. So just kind of keep that in mind. And they also do it at Disneyland Paris, too. So they have, like, outing, you know, this outing, you know, in three different parks, which is kind of a cool thing. So, like I said, if you want to learn more, it's dapperday.com is their website. And, it's just, I think it's a really cool thing that they do. It's, again, it's totally social media driven. And it's a unique thing to get people to dress up and look unique and go to the parks like they would have in the 1950s and 60s, which is kind of where they got their inspiration from in the first place.
It takes a certain kind of person, right? And, I mean, that's not saying a bad thing. It's just like you have to be, you know, I'm just not that that guy. Oh, no. I'm comfort over looks. I mean, if you've seen me, I mean, look at me right now. Like, I have on this shirt. I got at Epcot. I love it. Like, I love this shirt, but it's a t-shirt. You know, like, I mean, I quit teaching because now I can wear shorts. That's why
I
profession change, because I can wear shorts and I'm not being
right. There's another website too I wanted to to that cosplay.com.
Oh, yeah.
Actually has all, not just the Disney ones, but other things. You'll find all kinds of things like that. But it's really interesting to watch them because they're so, I mean, of course, we're in the Disney bubble, so we think of that in terms of like the Disney characters. If you look on there, you will find so many other things as well that people dress up like. And I think it's really interesting that this is what, you know, this is what makes the internet so awesome, is that it used to be that like these people never met each other.
Right.
They had this passion for something and had no one to talk to about it. And now they just have so many things, so it's really, really cool. But yes, lots of good stuff there.
I'm cosplaying Captain Steubing as we speak.
Yes, we can see that. Yeah.
Okay. Julian Dorsey's got a question here on YouTube. She says, we are getting ready for the 50th anniversary, and we have our reservation for the Magic Kingdom on October 1st, 2021. What would be your optimal way to spend October 1st at the Magic Kingdom? Rides, snacks, souvenirs? Thanks. Okay, so I'm just going to, I'll pass this off to you guys, but I would say priority first. This is number one. I would say, are you there to get souvenirs, you know, keepsakes, mementos? That would be priority one, because that's going to be what most people are going to be going after. And they're going to, that's a limited quantity, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then go from there. We've talked about this before. I might go for like stuff that was there on opening day just because it's a special day and, you know, whatever. But that's what I would do. So, Ricky, thoughts on October 1st?
Well, I would do the same thing. So actually, that's kind of, I think, what we did on the 40th. We did just a lot of the attractions that were there, you know, opening day. And that's probably going to be my plan for this year, too. It's just to, I mean, obviously, I'll hit up other things, too. But, you know, really focus on experiencing the attractions that were there on opening day. I'm not so much into, like, special merchandise. So you won't see me waiting in line for, you know, the limited edition pin or shirt or, you know, whatever they're going to have. Because I can guarantee you, we're going to have lots of limited edition stuff for the 50th on the 1st. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm just there to be there in the park that started it all, you know? So that's my goal, is just to actually be there. And yes, if they have a special ceremony, which who knows this year if they will or not because of COVID. I mean, they did it for the 40th, but
that
again,
was
that
was so packed in.
It was
40th.
So packed, man. Which is why I'm sure crazy. They will not be doing it this year for the 50th, which makes me sad, but also means I don't have to get there at super early crack of dawn to make sure that I'm in the park on time.
You literally, on the 40th, we waited. Okay, so as you're looking at the stage, we watched like the presentation from basically like over where you go into Liberty Square-ish. Like that part
over in that direction, yeah.
So
yeah.
I literally could have crowd surfed probably all the way to the queue to Space Mountain. I mean, literally never
wrong.
Touched the ground. It was crazy.
You're not wrong. No, this is true.
And I'm a big dude. Same. Pam, any other thoughts for folks going on October 1st?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm not really typically a limited merchandise person either. I just, you know, there is something about Walt Disney World opening that is very close to my heart. And just that even though I went to both parks as a kid, we went to Walt Disney World a lot more than we went to Disneyland. So I just feel like a kinship with that park. I am absolutely going to be trying to ride our classics, our favorites there that day. And I think that's how I'd like to spend the day. Hopefully they'll be able to have some kind of special things going on, or
maybe a special cavalcade.
Yeah,
like,
that's
true. You know, that would be really awesome to have like a special cavalcade.
What if they drive like a toad car down, you know, Main Street or something?
Yeah.
I don't think they really
I know. Yeah, what if they were able, what if you were able to mobile order special merchandise instead
heck
of
yes.
having to
mobile order merch? Although we know how well that goes with Shop Disney and it does not go well. So
<You'll>
I can see. Guarantee it wouldn't go well.
I know, but they let people order. Yeah, I know. So,
yeah.
But you would have to be there in the park. So you would be limiting your
that
pool
would be a good
of people.
Idea.
You know what I mean? To do that.
Yes.
I don't know. That would be my suggestion.
I like that idea.
I know, right? I hope that someone's listening.
What if they brought back, and I know parades are kind of far off, but I did see something this past weekend where they were installing lights. It kind of looked like they were to illuminate like a street, like a parade route. But who knows? But in the Run Disney races, they always have like the old like attraction vehicles, like a toad car, like a sub from the 20,000 Leagues. What if you put those? What if you make like a or just make them like a parade and just, you know, like a little mini cavalcade, and you just, you know, you put them on like a flatbed and you just drag them around, you know, like old like a Spectre. Because there's gotta be some Spectre Magic like prop. You know,
they
like
got rid of all the Spectre Magic stuff.
You can't tell me they got rid of everything. Like, come
it's
on.
In a dumpster, Mike Rollin. No, it's in a dumpster. No,
dude, have you seen my shed? No, just kidding. I have the trumpets. Just kidding. All right, Alfred's got a question. Not sure if you can answer this, but is there a library that gives the history of Walt Disneyland in the world? So I don't know if there's necessarily a library, but there are lots and lots of good books kind of on each one of these topics that I would just go on the internet and just Google it and see what you can find as far as books. I mean, Ricky, is there like one specific place you could go to kind of find all this Disney history, speaking of the 50th?
I mean, besides going to, you know, doing like the Backstage Magic, you know, or Backstage Magic at Disneyland, or that Adventures by Disney tour, like where you get to actually go into like Imagineering. That's the only thing I could think of that would be like the bus.
The archive.
Yeah, so you can go to the archives. Yeah, that's the library is the archives. Yeah. And the only way to do that is through that tour, I think. So that's, and it's not like you get to like explore the library at that point, you know, the archives, you don't get to go through things. So as far as books and like actual books and stuff like that, Amazon is your friend.
There are so many
and they've done such a great job. And Dave Smith over the years has been such a good historian for just the Disney company in general. His wealth of knowledge is incredible. So anyways, there are books that he's been involved in, but yeah, there's so many great books about it. And it is fascinating. There's different aspects. You could go down a rabbit hole and not ever stop, really and truly. So that's a good thing.
All right, Amy from the Run, Eat, Drink podcast is asking, and she says she always chooses, she always chooses Soarin' over Test Track. She's never done Test Track. Now, Amy lives in Florida.
Never.
I know. Are we crazy not to do it? Here's the thing. I know some people like are scared of certain attractions, right? But I drive it. So today it was 84 as we're recording this podcast. Tops down, doors off of the Jeep, man. It is awesome. I went 77 miles an hour down to pick up Mallory from school because it's right on the highway. I probably shouldn't have said that. I probably went 60.
I was going to say, Mike, you definitely went all over the
Well, because I was still on hold with Adventures by Disney at the same time, like in my AirPods. So I could, like, I was like, please answer. But I was running late. Anyway, Test Track only goes 63. It's not that scary. It's like going slowly down the interstate in a convertible. It's fun though, because you get to go through the track and see all the cool stuff. It's like being on Tron, kind of. I would do it. Yes,
that may be the reason why they've never done it, is because it's so, you know, quote pedestrian in that regard.
Well, like, I don't know about that. It's the fastest attraction at Walt Disney World.
I mean, that's true, but like it's like riding in a car, you know, in a convertible. So like it's something that people could easily. Use that in quotes, do, but you can't do it in a bank turn like that.
That's true, and it feels like you're going way faster.
It does. I mean, I say do it. Oh, don't skip it. I mean, go ride it.
No
it's
regrets.
Fun.
Yeah, no
it's
regrets. Fun. How about this one, Pam? Craig's asking, any guesses as to when tours might come back? He wants to go on a tour, and I'm with him. I love tours.
I know. I agree. And I hope we see them sooner than later, because it would be... It's a smaller group of people. And, you know, we have heard, I mean, you've heard about sometimes some schools, you know, across the country are thinking about removing the masks. I've heard reports of that, especially young kids. So we'll see what's happening. I mean, we keep moving towards this, you know, this line that we have drawn. And when we get there, it will be interesting to see what happens. So, and it will be interesting to see how quickly Disney responds to that, too.
So. Yep. All right. Kristen's got a question from YouTube. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm headed down to Walt Disney World in late June. What's the best quick service restaurant to try at Hollywood Studios? And are there any we should avoid? Thanks. It is Primo Piatto at the Riviera. You say it. It is. I always go to Backlot Express because I'm lazy, but there's not a lot of quick service choices. I don't know, Ricky, if somebody had to tell you where to eat, you know, quick service at the studios, what are you doing? I go to Primo Piatto. I'm not kidding either.
Yeah, you have a good choice there at Primo Piatto. I am actually, okay. Hollywood Studios does not have my favorite quick service food. I would much rather just go ahead and do a table service meal at Hollywood Studios. Like, I'll just schedule, I'll find something that's available table service. But if I am going to choose a quick service meal at Hollywood Studios, I tend to go for, well, Woody's. Sorry.
Woody's Lunchbox because of the tachos. I'm helping Ricky out, but here's the deal. I'll jump in. I always go to Backlot Express because I'm lazy and because Backlot Express has tons of tables. It's quick to get your food. What about you, Pam, while Ricky's getting it back together here? What? Because there's just not a lot of options there at the studio.
There aren't. So I'm going to give you a couple, though. First of all, Docking Bay 7 is the correct answer.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
That is, I mean, it does. And there's some good choices there. We've had just about everything there. Well, we have tried everything there over, you know, our multiple trips. And really, you know, it is good. There's some good options there. I agree, though. Hollywood Studios just does not have my favorite. The other thing you're going to want to do is check and see which one of the restaurants. Sometimes they offer like limited time offerings, options, and you need to look at those menus. Now, we've talked about this a few times, but on the app, the menus are being kept very up to date right now. So make sure that you check before you write off all the other ones. And of course, I have to give the other correct choice of this. And that is Baseline Tap House. Well,
correct.
Not
that was going to be my other option. Right.
But do they don't have food, though, do they? I mean, they have very limited food.
They have a pretzel. That's they have a charcuterie plate.
They have bell.
They have this, like, steak and a puff pastry kind of thing. So, yes, they do have food. And that's plenty enough food.
I'm with Pam. That was going to be my other choice besides Woody's before I started dying. So, you know, that's good.
And they have spiced almonds, too.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want meat. I want meat.
Then you can get the coffee rubbed ribeye. Okay.
Exactly. I disagree with Docking Bay 7, which I know that a lot of people like it. I think that their food is not good and overpriced, but that's just me. So, I would much rather go to Woody's and get some tachos. Or they have a really awesome grilled cheese, which is what I was also going to say. Grilled cheese.
So, if you grilled cheese, does sound good, though. So
yeah.
You kind of got me there. It all sounds good.
You're always hungry.
Yeah, I am. Okay, so David's got a question. Does Baseline Tap House take Rezzies? If not, any strats to get in? Look at this. Rezzies and strats. I feel like I'm 22 right now reading this comment. Pam, what about that? That's your joint.
They do not take reservations. It really is just sort of like a lounge. And I would go on off times for sure. Like dinner, I don't have as much problem as getting in as you do like lunchtime. Yeah. Lunchtime is prime time. There has actually been a wait when we have gone lately around that time. And I want to roll up and be like, I was eating here long before all these other people.
Same.
They didn't even know about it.
Not
that I was in the know, but just that we've wandered upon it so many times. No, I'm
Where's
so glad that
VIP list. Can I join the VIP list?
I'm so glad that people enjoy it and found out about it. And I hope that this inspires Disney to make more places like that, because I think we could use at least another one in each one of the parks.
Absolutely.
It's got the best jazz cover music there. Like, because you hear a song, you're like, I know that song, but it's like elevator music version of that song. So you're just like, that's what Scott and I did last time we were there. We're waiting for our Rise. I think that's what it is. Basically, it's like the Rise holding pin where you can drink alcohol, like as you're waiting to go into Galaxy's Edge, what it's turned into. But so we were playing Name That Tune. So we were waiting, like, I know that song, but it's such a weird version of it. You know, it's so crazy.
It is. There's actually on Spotify, there is a playlist. If you look for it, you can find it. And then Spotify does a great job of suggesting other songs. Yeah. So check it out on Spotify. But
I need to find this Spotify list.
Chuck Mangione for the win. Just saying. Love some Chuck Mangione. All right. Missy Johnson has a question. Looking at Topolino's for breakfast before heading to Hollywood Studios. Thoughts? For some reason, I remember Pam saying, do breakfast there, not dinner. Pam.
I'm not, so I don't want to.
You told me
say
not to do dinner because you told it me not to do dinner because I'm getting there like at 8 o'clock at night and I eat at 4 o'clock.
Right.
And I'm traveling.
Yes. Mike had special circumstances.
Right. Yeah.
And I just know Mike. I knew how he would feel. Yeah. I know how he gets when he's tired and hungry.
You do.
And this was not the spot for Mike.
No, it was not.
Correct.
So, but breakfast is really great. I honestly think the Topolinos right now has the best character experience for breakfast going. And I think the food itself is really good too. I understand why people like Chef Mickey's and some of the other locations where you can see characters, but Topolinos has some really good options. Look at them. The quiche is great. The waffles are good. They just have good choices for food. And the character interaction there is really good. The characters, you know, do this dance. They have music playing. They're interacting as best as they can. And it's just a great location. It's on top of the Riviera. You can go out, make sure you do this, go outside and visit that outdoor space too. It's so pretty. You're looking out over the Skyliner. You're looking over to Caribbean Beach. It's worth checking out.
Yes. Okay, Daniel's got a question in the inbox. He says, hey, BOGP crew, we're headed down to Walt Disney World on May 27th through June 1st, and we'll be doing a split stay. Our time will be divided between Pop Century, May 27th to May 31st, in a preferred room, and the Riviera Resort, or the Riv, as we like to call it, May 31st through June 1st, in a deluxe studio with a preferred view. Our question regards requesting a room at Pop. We would like to get a little closer to the lobby area to get Ubers and Lyfts. That could be the combo, though. If they ever merge, that's their name. They're Lubers. If they ever merge, it's Lubers. That's it. I've got it. I'm going to go get the website after the show. That's crazy. But we also don't want to be too far away from the Skyliner station, and we don't want to get stuck in a room that has a massive sign out front. With a preferred room, what building and floor combo do you think would make the most sense for us? Thanks for all the help. We listen to every podcast episode. Thanks a lot, Daniel. Okay, so here's the deal. Because I get this question a lot from my guests at Pop Century. And I have to be honest. I hope my guests love my, you know, like that I do. I am honest with everything that they ask. It's physically impossible to be very close to the food court and very close to the Skyliner because they're in two opposite directions. Like, you got to make a call. Like, which one are you going to use more? Like, which one is more important to you is what I always say. And again, my best advice for this isn't, because we're talking Pop Century. So my best advice, and what I figured out, because a lot of my guests come back and say, oh, we got a really good room. And so I tell the cast member, and again, requests are not guaranteed, but Disney does a pretty good job. They try, you know, and it's better than normal. You know, I think they do a good job. But I tell them what they're looking for. So if you want to be next to the Skyliner and possibly be looking at Hourglass Lake, that's exactly what I say. I don't say, you know, building 642, you know, room 2832. Like, that's just, it's so limiting for the person who's assigning the rooms that if you give them just what you're looking for, it gives them the opportunity to honor that request in a creative way. You know, like, let them do their job and hopefully get you something that works. And it opens up a whole lot more options. I don't know, Pam, you've been doing this obviously way longer than I have, but that's what I found works best for me.
It's the best strategy. And so, you know, on your room reservation, when you have a reservation, let your agent know, like, the top two things that you would like to see in order of importance, because then we can let Disney know and have them put on the reservation. Okay, what's really important to them is that they overlook the pool, or they want to be as close to the Skyliner as possible. If that's your number one preference, let's put that first, and then anything after that. And I would not put more than three, really and truly. Two's better. One's the best.
Yeah.
So it just really is. And Mike's absolutely right. It does give Disney a creative way of sort of honoring that request. Now, if you are still happen to be a person that checks in at the desk, and you don't have to now with online check-in, you can do that. But you can always reiterate your request again if you're standing there in front of a cast member, and make sure that's, you know, noted there. But yeah, put what's important to you, not a specific room or building. And Disney will do their best.
And here's what I do. Honestly, I do the online check-in. So when I get to Magical Express, or, you know, whenever I get my room assignment on the text, I just pull up a map of that resort and check out where the room is, right? And if I'm happy with it, great. You know, they got what I in the ballpark of what I was looking for. I'm good. I go to the room. I'm fine. But if I see that, you know, it's like the opposite of what I was hoping for, I just, when I get back to the hotel because I'm at a theme park or I'm on Magical Express still, I swing by the front desk and I just really kindly go up to them and say, you know what? you know, this is where my room is and I'm fine with that. But, you know, I was really kind of looking forward to having this, you know, I just, or, you know, I kind of got a sore ankle this week, you know, and again, you gotta be happy with what you book. Now, see, Daniel's in a preferred room, so he's already in a sweet spot, right? He's going to be close to the Skyliner because he booked that room category. Now, if I book a standard view, I can't go asking for the best view in the hotel because my ankle hurts, right? Because that's not what I paid for. So you got to remember, and I mean, everybody does, right? But I mean, I will ask for, if I'm not happy with my room assignment, I'm aware of what I'm, you know, what my limitations are on my category, but I can't, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask, you know, at least they can say, well, we don't have any availability in that kind of room, but it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yep.
Oh, and Joe, I love Joe. He's down in Atlanta. We were talking on the live show about how hard it is to get a rental car right now. It's near impossible and they're super expensive. And I heard this on a podcast yesterday too. Hawaii. Cause again, think about it. It's the islands, right? Georgie's renting out his car. I'm just saying, like, if he has extra cars, dude, he needs to get those things out on the market.
I've heard that people are doing that, too.
Dude, people are renting U-Haul trucks in Hawaii.
Yes, I've heard that, too, today on the news. Yes. Yes. It's crazy. But
you know my tie to that story, right? I've told you this, right? Didn't I tell you this story? So when we went to our honeymoon, I was scared to fly, but I was trying to be a tough guy because I was trying to impress Pam on our honeymoon. Flew to Miami. We did a cruise out of Miami for 7 nights. So the whole time I was on the cruise, I didn't tell Pam. But I was like, I am not flying back. I'm not getting on another airplane. I'm not doing... But I didn't tell her until the very last night of the cruise. We're packing up the room. Like, Pam, can't do it. I'm not getting on a plane tomorrow morning. We're going to drive home. She's like, what? So anyway, we're at Miami International. It's super hard to get it.
You're driving home. Well, no.
It's super hard to rent a car when they ask, okay, where do you want to return it? You're going to return it in Orlando. You're going to return it in Fort Lauderdale, you know, 30 miles down the road. St. Louis. Where? St. Louis, Missouri? Yes. And okay, so I couldn't find a rental car, and I was not getting on a plane, so I didn't want to get stuck. I was looking at U-Hauls, but then I finally found Hertz, and they gave me I paid a fortune. I paid a fortune. Sure, but at least I didn't get on the airplane. So there you go. I've changed.
It's travel is back, my friend.
It is. And so the problem is that a lot of the car rental places, you know, when COVID hit, they sold a lot of their cars.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they sold their fleets. So, and then there's a shortage of new cars being made right now. So it's really hard for them to get cars back. So that's the problem and why so many of these rental car places are having difficulty in keeping stock / having very expensive.
It's true. It's hard for these places to gear up. I mean, when you had such a downturn for so long.
Yes.
And now to get to the point where people don't just want to travel, they need to travel. Right. They will elbow other people. They're like, I missed out. I'm not missing out anymore. So it's challenging. But yeah, you're right. That's where we're at.
Yeah, this is the old 0 to 100. You know, it's so weird how fast things have gotten.
It is.
Well, I mean, we're knocking on wood. I mean, we're not there yet, but we're optimistic. So,
yes.
All right. Last question today. Betsy, one of my great guests over at the Magic for Less, has a question. Hey, BOGP crew, quick question about Magical Express. Can they accommodate a guest that is wheelchair bound and unable to transfer out of the chair? I just planned a short trip and my niece is wheelchair bound and want to make sure we are prepared for her and my sister to get to the airport without any issues. Also, fingers crossed for the upcoming trip. I'll be using all your tips and tricks for the beach club, including a cabana rental. Thanks for all the fun Disney talk, Betsy. And I will say what, the cabana rentals right now are about like getting a rental car. So just hang tight. I hope you get one. We're working on it. But I'm telling you, man, it's one of those things. Like, it's like when you get boarding group one for Rise of Resistance, like it might kill you from a heart attack before you, like, you're just like, actually, I got it. You're so excited. You know, like you wouldn't even get to enjoy it. That'd be my luck. So anyway, what about these kind of transfers, Pam? Obviously, I think they do have that.
They do. You're just going to want to call and explain exactly what you need. This is something that I'm not ever going to put on a form for someone. I want to talk to a person because I just want to explain specifically what you need, what the limitations are, and Disney will do their best to help you. So,
all righty. Well, that is going to do it for today's listener questions. If you have a question, send those to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Put listener question in the heading. And we'll get to that for next week. We'll get to those right away. Don't forget, I'll be down at Walt Disney World starting tomorrow night with all kinds of cheerleaders. It's going to be crazy. So I'm trying to be getting away and like just doing my own thing. I got to, dude, 13-year-old cheerleading squads. It's just not good. It's just it's like, take it down a couple notches, please. Bring it still down more. And yeah, but I'll be, you know, exploring Disney Springs all around the parks. I'll be hopefully running through Saratoga Springs. I hope I see that bird that picks up the fish again. I am on a mission. And I know that was a one in a million thing, but what it could happen again this year. Last time I was at Summit, that's when it happened. So we'll see.
All right.
But yeah, I'll be covering all this on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. So follow there. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out. Really, it's a great way to get your trip planning started. It's a site that has a lot of tools and resources to look at, you know, maps of the resorts, hotel rooms, reviews, layouts, all that stuff. And then while you're there, fill out the quote form. An agent will get back to you right away. Lickety split, we like to call it, and get you some numbers and availability. And then we can, you know, it's like a big funnel, right? We get all that stuff. It's real general. Then we kind of work it down. Okay, let's look at a moderate. Okay, that's going to work out best for your family. Okay, now we could look at Caribbean Beach, Skyliner, Coronado, awesome rooms, pool. Then we just work it down. Okay, do you want Park Hopper? And then all of a sudden, boom, you have a pretty little vacation all set for you. No cost. Well, you got to pay for the vacation, but our service is no cost to you. We don't pay for your vacation, but other than that, everything's free. Promise you. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you so much for supporting the show. It means a lot. And I hope you enjoy Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. And you get that as well. So if you want more information on that, just visit patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Instagram and Twitter at brguestpod, at brguestmike, and subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. You get a little ding every time we go live, like right now. All right, we're going to get out of here, and I am going to probably pull out the suitcases and get packing. It's about nice. That time. Can't wait. All right, so we will be back again on Friday. We're playing Would You Rather with Walt Disney World situations that were offered up by the listeners of the show. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.